Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We're going to talk some more Badgers football and Packers football coming up here. Our buddy Zach Heilprin, the sports director from 96.7 FM and 1670 AM, The Zone out in Madison, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Zach, how you been, buddy?
Doing good, Bill.
So give me your thoughts as we had a chance to sit down and chit-chat a little bit on Sunday as we were talking that Badgers game from Saturday. What did you see? What went wrong? You were there up close and personal.
Yeah, well, it was a myriad of things, and honestly, it was a bunch of things that had not gone wrong all year. They had done so well, and they did not do them well on Saturday. I mean, you think about the red zone offense, especially inside the 10. They had two opportunities, couldn't get in the end zone, especially the one that really sticks out, obviously, would be the one in the fourth quarter where you had three shots from inside the three and couldn't get in. Though that certainly stands out. The three turnovers, they have not been a turnover-prone team whatsoever this year, and they turned the ball over three times, and two of them on their final two drives. And then the defense not being able to step up and allowing 10 points in the final, 8 minutes of the game. All these things that they had done so well all year, tackling, not allowing big plays, it all came together and it all really just hit you all at once, and it's the reason why they're 6-1 instead of 7-0.
The game itself left the Badgers way on the outside looking in. You tell me, out in Madison, is there now that everybody's kind of gotten past the stunning gut punch, is there now the, okay, regroup, we still had an outside shot, we can do this, now you focus hard on the Buckeyes, or are people going, Final Four, season's over, go to the Rose Bowl, no big deal?
I think it's the latter of that. You just look at the history of the college football playoff, and you really can look at two teams. And one is Clemson. They lost in 2017. They lost to Syracuse, a bad Syracuse team, and they managed to get all the way back in. But that was them coming off a year in which they won a national championship, and so they were Clemson. They were big time Clemson, big name, and a lot of talent. And then the other team you can look at is at Ohio State. And the last 2 years, they've gotten blown out really by Iowa 1 year and Purdue another year. And yet, at least last year, went and won last 2 years went and won the Big Ten title and Big Ten title game and couldn't get in. And if you think Wisconsin losing to Illinois is going to get in, or if Ohio State, the Ohio State, and how great everybody knows that they are and that the national program that they are, if they can't overcome one loss, and they were blowout losses to teams that went to bowl games, if they can't overcome that, how is Wisconsin going to overcome losing as a 30.5-point favorite to an Illinois team that I think is very unlikely to win, two more games or even get close to a bowl game? I think it's very, very difficult to sit here and say, even if they win out, that they're going to have a shot to get in the playoff unless there's chaos above them.
What is the expectation or the hope now for the Badgers?
Well, I think it is to bounce back. They've been talking this week, or the coaching staff has been talking and trying to hammer home the 1999 season. Most of the guys that are actually on this team, or a lot of the guys on this team, were not alive at that time. But that team went and got lost at Cincinnati as a huge, huge favorite that year. They were in the top 10 at that time, and then went the following week and lost to Michigan. And everyone's freaking out, like the season's lost. They go to Ohio State the following week. Brooks Bollinger gets the start for the first time, and they get down 17-0. And miraculously, they come back and win that game. They score 42 straight points and don't lose again that year, and they win the Rose Bowl. That's been the message being hammered home by the coaching staff. The players have talked about it already this week a couple times, and it's just the idea that you can go one of two ways. You can go like last year where you lose to BYU and you never get over it, and that's what Jim Leonard said today. They really never got past that. Or you can deal with what you did on Saturday, and you can rebound and ball your fist up and go out and fight. And I think that a lot of us are wondering exactly what Badger team will. I mean, are they gonna get up off the mat and punch their way out of this, or are they just gonna fall into a blaze like they did last year? I'm interested and anxious to see what it looks like on Saturday.
I want to think that with some of the mistakes, the Jack Cohn pick and the Jonathan Taylor fumble, that a lot of these things are just merely correctable. It's some of this stuff was self-induced, obviously. So it's not like you just got beat up by a one-day great Illinois team. You kind of tripped over yourself. So let me ask you this. They clean that up, and I hate to use that terminology. It makes me sound like I'm ready to go to a press conference with Mike McCarthy, but they clean that up. give me the legitimacy of the shot of going into the shoe and beating Ohio State.
Ohio State's been so overwhelming all year, and I know they haven't really played a ton of tough opponents, but they're a top five offense, they're a top five defense. They don't, you know, they make big plays. They don't allow big plays. It's just, it's such an uphill climb. But yes, are there chances for Wisconsin to keep it close? I mean, they haven't gotten blown out by Ohio State outside of that, obviously, 59-0 game in the Big Ten championship game in 2014. The last six times or the last five times that they've lost or played against them, it's all been one-score games. So Wisconsin has been able to figure out a way to keep games close against these guys. But the tackling, I think, is one big thing. They're going to put people in space, and they're going to force them to tackle one-on-one, and they didn't do it last week. And they didn't do a great job of it in the Big Ten championship game a couple of years ago. And then offensively, it's going to be exactly the same recipe as you saw against, at least in my mind, is against Illinois. They just didn't obviously follow through in the red zone, but it's the whole out of the ball. They had the ball for close to 41 minutes the other day. If they're able to keep their offense on the field and Ohio State's offense off the field, they're going to be able to keep the game close, and it's going to come down into the fourth quarter. If they're not able to, you know, get first downs and keep their own defense off the field, it's going to be a long day, because I think that Ohio State offense is just so tough to keep under wraps. I don't know how you slow Justin Fields and J.K. Dobbins, because nobody's done it this year so far.
Now, I'm going to say this, and I know people get mad at me for this, because I say you should never expect anything less than a championship, and then, you know, you haven't won one, but you should always expect that and set your sights high. But some people that are getting ridiculous saying, well, Paul Chryst is never going to take us there. And after that game, people were upset and angry. Look, I know it's an emotional thing. Paul Chryst is the man for this program, hands down, without a doubt. Until he has, like, back-to-back really poor losing seasons and bad recruiting, I will never lose faith in Paul Chryst. So he has won a championship, but I think he's building a hell of a program. But I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater here. There is no reason in the world for me to lose, or anybody else to lose, faith in Paul Chryst. Do you believe that?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, everyone was like, oh my goodness, that's two top 10 losses in the last 2 years to unranked opponents. And that's accurate, but it's not like Wisconsin has done that before. They have seven losses as that. Chryst has the best record of any of their coaches the last four in the top 10 against unranked opponents. He's 19-2. It's just these ones obviously stand out, the BYU and Illinois game. But who would you rather have running your program? Like, when people say that, I ask, all right, who would you like to have running the program? Who do you think can turn it into a team that has been in the top 10 for three of the last 5 years? You know what I mean? A team that he's had one bad year. It was last year. And, you know, no one was expecting them to be 6-0 at this point or before last week. So I think they've overachieved to an extent so far. Obviously, the Illinois game is going to stand out, and people are going to be up in arms about that. But I just don't know who's the obvious name. There isn't. It's his program, and he deserves exactly – you know, what he's earned, and he's earned a lot through here these first 4.5 years. I don't know what more you could ask of a program like Wisconsin, which is never going to be a blue blood program. I don't know much more what you could ask for, because he's turned, the recruiting's improved. They've been very, very good on the field. They're good off the field. They're good in the classroom. Like, I don't know much more what more you can want from a guy on a consistent basis at this school. People are unrealistic if they think that they're going to turn this program into a consistent top five team. It's just not going to happen. And so Paul Chryst is the best, by far, option for them at this stage.
I know it's getting ahead of ourselves, but what do you think of Minnesota?
I am they haven't played anybody. I know that you can only play who's on your schedule. The same thing for Wisconsin. You can only play who's been on your schedule when people are always saying they hadn't beaten anybody before. But they really haven't beaten anybody, and they've been close to losing, especially early in the season. Now, they've won three straight games by at least 20 points in the Big Ten, which I think the first time is like since 1960 for them. So they're not just beating teams right now, they're beating teams. But I think we need to reserve judgment on them until they face Penn State, which I think isn't, I don't think it's this week, I think it's next week. They host Penn State, and then maybe we learn a little bit more out of Minnesota. But until they beat a team that anybody thinks is any good whatsoever, it's going to be very difficult to sit here and say, oh, they're 7-0 and they're the favorite in the Big Ten West. Maybe because of their schedule they are, but I don't think they're the best team right now.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Hey, real quick before I let you go, what we witnessed out of Aaron Rodgers on Sunday, Look, I was saying I thought that performance he had in the playoffs against Atlanta was spectacular. What he did the other day, spectacular. What he's done against the Bears in the past, whether it's the opener last year, as Joe has pointed out, the game in which he threw six touchdowns and a 55-point outpouring against the Bears has been spectacular. Is that one of the best performances you've ever seen?
Yeah, I mean, statistically, I mean, can there be a question that that's not his best statistical performance ever? I mean,
right.
Six completions, he had six touchdowns.
Yeah.
He had the perfect passer rating, the 429 yards. And his guys made – I mean, he put the ball where his guys could – you know, some of the throws that he made were on point, but his guys made plays for him all day. I mean, the catch by Kumerow for the touchdown was ridiculous. The great job by Aaron Jones and the adjustment in the end zone. You know, Marquez Valdes-Scantling taking off down the side and Aaron Jones getting him blocked there. Like, his guys made plays for him, but that was as good as I can remember seeing. I'm partial to that Atlanta game as well. Because it just felt like, and he said it afterwards, it felt like he had, you know, eyes in the back of his head. He could see everything was coming. He was just so in control that night. It was just in his zone. I would put that game, like, that's up there as probably his best game. But this one was statistically just ridiculous.
Yep, no doubt about it. Good stuff as always, man. And we will talk to you more down the road, okay?
All right, sounds good, Bill.
Appreciate
thanks.
It, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. Zach Heilprin from The Zone out there in Madison on 96.7 FM, 1670 AM. Joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.